session number 18442, Reel 2.
Peter White, Reel 2.
Yeah, my vivid memory is of the refugees, them walking back the way we just come. And I do remember one thing. There was a train. We were near a railway line, and there was a train with people all over it, hanging on like flies. And I remember at a crossroad, and a military policeman said, "The Yanks are threatening to blow that train up if they can't get those, if those refugees won't get off it." It seems so terrible, and the poor children and the women. Fortunately, I wasn't married and I had no children then. It would have been harder for me if I'd have had children, and what I saw in that country with the poor people.
Could the troops do anything for the refugees?
Not really, there was too many. But we did occasionally. Now, when things started to settle down, there'd be the odd boy about that hadn't gone with his parents. So that, and several of the troops looked after these boys, kept them, fed them. We kept them what they called a mamasan, a woman and her little boy, we had for about a month. And she used to do our washing when things wasn't, when it was quiet. We used to feed her with tinned steak and bacon, and feed the kitty with chocolate.
So you're on this journey up to Suwon. What happened next?
When we got to Suwon, round about Christmas. I remember we settled in Suwon round about Christmas. And Christmas night, 1950, I was out on guard. We leaguered all the lorries round the school, all facing outwards. And I was put on guard that night, that Christmas night, walking round and round the outside of the perimeter of these lorries. Met a Yank on at the end of the... do the stag walk round, and then inside there was a Yank doing guard as well. We stopped on the we stopped and had a smoke together, and he went back his way, I went back mine, and so it was on. And we slept on the floor in the school in Suwon. That was Christmas night.
Were you happy or unhappy at the time?
You accepted where you were, and you were happy to be alive anyway.
What happened after Christmas?
The most memorable thing, on January the 3rd, we lost what they called Cooper Force. Now, Cooper Force was a reconnaissance squadron, a reconnaissance troop, of led by Donald Astley Cooper. Captain Donald Astley Cooper led this force. And with them was Howe Troop of the Royal Artillery. Now, they were surrounded and massacred on January the 3rd, 1951. So we lost Donald Astley Cooper then, and quite a few troopers and soldiers.
Had there been any question of your going on that Cooper force?
Only as far as taking supplies to them and coming back. Like, take ammunition, water, petrol, whatever.
How far away were they when they were massacred from you?
Matter of 2 or 3 miles, probably.
So you knew what was going on?
We knew what was going on, yeah. I think they sent a squadron up to try and relieve them, but I don't think they could get through.
Did you see any of them who escaped?
Well, it's very difficult to say that you saw them, because you had a job to do, and it didn't sort of, while you're doing your job, you're not sort of inquiring of people what other people are doing. So, no, I didn't really come across many of them that escaped.
How did it affect morale in the unit?
I don't think it did. I don't think it affected morale greatly. You get this impression. When we lost our first two troopers, which was Wilmot and Costello, they were blown up in a scout car. And, I mean, I thought, oh, it's about time we went home. We mustn't stay here. But then it's only something that passes through your mind, and then you get over it. You think, oh, well, this is war, this is what we're here for. And bear in mind, I was only 20, just 20, 21 then.
Did you see it happen when Wilmot and Costello were...
No, but they came back to the lines, they brought their bodies back, and there was a little funeral service, and they were sent off to Poussin by train, their bodies.
Was that before or after the 3rd of January?
I would say that was before the 3rd of January. That was about December, I would think.
How exactly had it happened that this scout car was there?
They were on a reconnaissance patrol and went over a mine.
So we're up to the 3rd of January with the loss of Cooper Force. What happened then, as far as you remember?
We moved up into Seoul, and then came a terrific Chinese offensive. And we got on to what they called the big retreat. Now everybody was running, everybody was retreating, because there was so much Chinese, so many Chinese coming down. And we stopped at Kimpo Airfield. We stopped there on the roadside. And the belief was that we were going to defend Kimpo. But the Americans got anxious-like, and they blew it up. So that the Kimpo Airfield, which is the airfield for Seoul now, that was alight from end to end. And we was at the roadside, and the Americans were coming down that main supply route, hell for leather. You never see anything like it. And right, they were moving on foot, lorries, the lot. And there's us standing by the roadside, letting them go through. In any case, then the Argyll and Sutherland Islanders come through, and word come back that Air Colonel had said, the jocks are going, about time we went. So that was the big what we called the big retreat. You talk to most people who was there at the time, they'll tell you about the big retreat.
Did you see the Argyles as they came through?
Oh, the Argyles come through on lorries and foot, and that's funny, yeah.
What impression did they create as they went through?
You don't get a chance to speak to them. You didn't get a chance to speak to any of the Yanks or anything like that. The urgency was to get back and get established. I think we got established south of Suwon then.
What were conditions like on the retreat?
Oh, but there was, you couldn't say you had any conditions at all. You would, if you stopped for, if, when the you stopped, the convoy stopped, you would jump out and try and get a cup of tea made. you try and get something hot. We had what they call compo rations, which is a box of tinned food. Three or four of you would get together, and we got hold of an old Dixie. And three or four of you would get together and throw in a tin of stewed steak, tin of bacon, a packet of biscuits, and stir it all up and have that in your mess tin. We called that biscuit burgoo. The fat, there was a half inch of fat on the floating on it, but that kept us warm. All that fat.
What's burgoo porridge?
It was, you throw in stewed steak, tin bacon, biscuits, beans, stir it all up together. And that's what we called biscuit burgoo, for want of a better name.
Was it nice?
Yeah, sure it was. It was food.
What condition were you in by the time you stopped the retreat?
One thing, filthy. There was no way that you could get a proper wash, anything like that, nor a shave. All for a bit, I suppose. Went on for a week. And we got into a place called Yongdong Po. And they message come round that the Royal Engineers were getting some baths working in the town. That was these big baths like the rugby players get in. So you could take a lorry load at a time down to these baths and you could get yourself cleaned up and get some fresh clothes, you see. But when we got down there, this particular lorry load I was with, it was full of Filipinos. Filipino soldiers. So we had to pile into the bath with the Filipino soldiers. And there we all are, all washing ourselves. You know. And come out of there and got some clean clothes. It really felt good. Another time I remember well, when we had a nice clean up, the Royal Engineers set up some mobile showers. It was sort of a tent with showers in it, and they were drawing water out of the river, hotting it up. It would come through the showers and then go back into the river. And that was nice, again, a nice shower like that, this mobile shower.
Had you got lice?
No, but they took precautions. They sprayed, I was sprayed three times with DDT powder under the arms and in your trousers.
What happened next?
But by this time, we'd had a mobile war up till then, and we're going into April now, when the Gloucesters were overrun at Wee John Boo. Then we moved back a bit from that position. I think we went safe as Suwon, and become a bit more static. But up till then, right up till, like from when we landed in November, right round till April, May, we'd been on move all the time.
Which did you prefer, the mobile warfare or the static?
Well, static, you could get yourself a bit more stabilised, you could get yourself a decent wash, and you could get a bit of decent food. Although it was all good, it was these rations that they gave you, these ration packs, everything in there was good. There was tin cake, tin biscuits, packets of biscuits, steak, bacon, beans, and it was all good, all really good food, and it really, as compared with the Americans, they had such a lot of fruit. Oh, and another thing, we could get some beer, which the Americans couldn't get. And we could get a case of 24 bottles of beer for 30 shillings, which now is £1.50. And so we chucked that, we had that, chucked that on the lorry and carry it around with us. Nice bottle of beer when you wanted it. Japanese stuff. Wasn't really up to much, but it was a drink.
So, can you tell me what happened to you next?
Yeah, I had a short time in Kyuri in Japan for a rest.
What did you do in Kyuri?
Nothing much. It was a rest period, a leave period, and we went to a place called Hiro, which was near Hiroshima. We visited Hiroshima, and we used to go into Kyuri every day. There was Australian canteen services in there, and there wasn't an English NAFI. It was Australian canteen services. I think that was administered by the Australians, Kyuri.
What did you do when you came back?
When we came back to Korea?
Yes.
It's the same old thing, like the transporting whatever from here and there. And you know.
Were you driving tanks or soft?
No. No. Lorries. Not anything from a Jeep up to a 3-ton lorry.
What were driving conditions like in
Korea? Bad. Very bad. Around the mountain sides and that sort of thing. It's very bad. Especially on that main supply route.
What happened when the Gloucesters and the other battalions got involved in the Imjin battle? Did you get involved in that?
No, not personally, but our regiment was involved in it. That was the Weejongbu, Imjin Weejongbu. That's the Imjin River, you see, and the place was Weejongbu.
What were you carrying in the lorries?
Supplies, rations, petrol, water. Whatever was needed at the front line, needed by the tanks that went to battle, you see.
Did you ever come under fire?
Very briefly, but not very much, because it was the tanks that done the fighting, not people who were driving lorries and that sort of thing. It was the tanks that done the fighting, and to load them up with supplies and all that sort of thing, they would pull back, say half a mile or something like that. And then they would load up with what they wanted, and then you'd go back to your echelon.
Were you allowed to give people lifts?
Nobody wanted a lift. There was nobody there like to. I don't know, I suppose. If one of the tank crew wanted to be taken back to HQ, sent by his officer, you'd take him back, I suppose.
But you didn't get people trying to hitchhike lifts?
No. No, that sort of thing didn't happen.
And did you keep on with this job throughout your time in Korea?
Yeah.
How long were you there for?
We left again in December. We left December the 15th, 1951.
What were summer conditions like?
Hot, sweaty, dusty, mosquitoes.
So which did you prefer, the summer or the winter?
Summer, naturally, because the winter was so hard. And we managed to get nearly two winters. It was said that British soldiers would only have one winter out there, but we managed to get two. You see, we didn't leave till the winter starts coming down in November, December, January, and then it thaws out in February.
Any incidents that happened to you during 1951 that you haven't already recounted?
No, I don't think so. Oh, yeah. I went to Pusan, to the base camp at Pusan, and decided to climb up the mountain, the highest mountain in Pusan, where there was a radar station on top. And we took a dozen eggs each, myself and George Dillaston, the cook, took a dozen eggs each and climbed up the rough side of that mountain right up to the radar station on top. And when we got up there, the Americans thought we were guerrillas and they was going to shoot us, the Americans up there. So we convinced them that we were British soldiers. But then when we convinced this sergeant and this officer that we were British soldiers, they said the OC wants to see you. And the OC was in a Nissen hut, sitting at his desk, and I said to George, give him all the bull we can muster up. And we marched the whole length of that Nissen hut, came to a smart halt in front of him and saluted him. And I never see a man so impressed with these two British soldiers saluting him like they did. And he told us that we've done wrong by climbing up there because they'd had guerrilla attacks and they'd lost some men like through these guerrilla attacks. And he said, have you had chow? Which is, have you had something to eat? Like, no, we hadn't. So he said, Sergeant, get these men some chow and get them back down. And they transported us back to air camp in jeeps. Yeah. And that was a whole day. And then, of course, we got Lieutenant Scott, who was more or less in charge of the camp at Pusan. He took us in and gave us a right going over. But then he couldn't say much because the airfield that was right next to the camp, Lieutenant Scott used to go over there and go on a bombing raid now and again. Would you believe? Go have a ride on the bombers, go up bombing and come back next morning. And that was Lieutenant Scott. Whatever happened to Lieutenant Scott, I don't know. But yeah.
What did you think of the Allied troops, like the Americans and Australians and Turks and so on?
Very good. I like the Turks. They liked us. But the Americans, well, you can take it or leave it with the Americans. I remember once in one incident that happened, we were near a place called Askham City, which was a massive, massive supply dump. They had everything there, the Americans. And they were going to blow up Askham City. This was on the big retreat. And they were going to blow up Askham City. And word come down that get up to Askham City and get what you can. We took a 3-ton lorry up there. And we loaded up with tea, coffee, fruit juices, you name it. We had that in food. And A Squadron went up there and got themselves some lorries. And they named these lorries because each squadron had the name on their lorries and tanks of the squadron, like A Squadron. And these lorries they called Arthur Carey, Harry Carey, Aggie Carey, and some other Carey, all starting with A, you see. Like C Squadron, the tanks would be named Charlie, whatever, another C, so that you could identify which squadron they was. But anyway, A Squadron had these lorries. They had about five lorries from Askham City. And I shan't forget, there was a poor old, we call them gooks, a Korean worker. And they had these trousers always tied up at the bottoms. And this one had apparently took two or three tins of something and put in his trousers. And this American hit him. And I stopped the American. I said, you leave him alone. And he said, get off my base, I'll shoot you. He would have shot me too. This American. But I couldn't stand by and see him beating this poor old gook up. It was a shame because he probably got a child somewhere that he wanted to feed. Something like that. And, yeah, this American said to me, get off my base, I'll shoot you. So off we went with our three-tonner loaded up.
Did the Korean escape?
I don't know what happened to him because we just got in the lorry and went off, took what we had.
Why did the Turks like the British so much?
I don't know. We sort of related to them very well. When we were camped nearby, or leaguered, as we called it, leaguered.
What were they like as troops?
Okay, I suppose didn't see much of, you know, apart from being leaguered near them, I didn't see them fighting or anything like that.
Did you see any other nationalities there?
Australians, Canadians, the Turks, and of course the ROK Army, the Republic of Korea Army. Very hard little men, those. The Koreans are a cruel little people. Very cruel.
What way were they hard?
When if you talk to anybody who was a prisoner with the Chinese, or anybody who was a prisoner with the Koreans, they say that the Koreans were wicked, wicked people.
How do you feel now about having served in the Korean War?
I wouldn't have missed it. Wouldn't have missed it.
Why do you say that?
It was an experience that absolutely unique.